A red letter N unfolds into a spectrum of colors.
Rugged white text appears on black. Chad Daniels.
Ladies and gentlemen, Chad Daniels.
A Netflix comedy special. Chad, a stocky middle-aged white man with short brown hair, a beard, and tattoos, strides onto a stage and waves. He lifts the mic off a stool.
Well, hello. It's great. Hi, thank you. Okay, thank you.
Text reads, empty nester.
Thank you. Thank you. That's very nice. You keep clapping, I'm going to bust through my nipple tape. That was wild. This is fucking crazy, man. I've lived in Minnesota my whole life, and now we're at the Capitol, and I'm filming this gall darn thing. So it's a pretty good deal. I've lived here my whole life, and I've noticed that Minnesota and New York are the only two places where you can tell someone you're from there, and someone will say your accent back to you right away. Right? You go, hi, I'm from Minnesota. Oh, Minnesota. Or you go, hey, I'm from New York. Hey, New York. I'm walking here. You don't get that other places, right? You're never like, hi, I'm from Cleveland. Oh, I'm from Cleveland. I see my kids every other weekend.
Chad grips the mic with both hands and bobs his head from side to side.
Nobody's like, I'm from Kentucky. Hey, y'all, I'm from Kentucky. I only quote the Bible when it fits what I'm talking about. I was in New York one time, that's true, and I was trying to cross a crosswalk, and I couldn't because there were two people in front of me, and there were puddles on both sides of me. And so I go to one of the guys. I go, hey, man, can we cross the street? And he goes, can't. There's an orange hand. Says we can't cross. And I said, well, that's a suggestion, and we're adults, so let's figure it out. And then from behind me, a woman goes, fucking go. Like that. I thought Batman was behind me. That's no kidding. And so without even looking, I go, you're the captain of our team. I go, you gotta come up here. And I heard some shuffling, so I turned around and I looked and she was on crutches. Yeah, but she wasn't on underarm crutches. She was like on the grippies with the Wonder Woman bracelets.
Chad mimes walking with forearm crutches.
She's on those, like forever crutches.
He looks around at the audience with a slight smile.
You know what I'm saying? Like, she didn't sprain an ankle. Her mom drank when she was pregnant. Like,
Chad grimaces, then grins.
Okay. Got some shaking heads and some shaking shoulders. Whatever. I don't care. I'll take either one. So we finally get to the front, it's her and I, and I go, all right, what do you think, Captain? She goes, assess the situation. So we go, all right, then we got a one-way street going this way, and there's a car coming, but it's three blocks away that way. She goes, do you think we can make it? And I said, I think you and I have different answers. Then she smiled at me, turned sideways, and took off like a hermit crab across the street.
Chad stands sideways and waves one hand at waist height. He shrugs.
It is the fastest I've ever seen a human being move in my life. It's like MC Hammer times 10,000, just all the way across the thing. The only way it could have been better is she'd have just ducked into a hole at the end of it. Goddamn, crab lady. You just made somebody's Wednesday. I don't know if I necessarily want to talk about this next thing, but I feel like I need to. I saw a grown man kiss his own sister on the lips. It's true. At a restaurant. I was with my children. And by the way, I've never kissed them on the lips, I don't think. Maybe when they were babies, but it wasn't really to kiss him. It was more to steal their essence. You ever feel old around a kid and you're like, fucking breathe on me?
Chad crouches and wafts air toward his face.
So we're eating, and a man walks in, and he goes, sister! And then from across the restaurant, a woman stands up and she goes, brother! And then they started walking towards each other with what now I can confirm was passion. And then they kissed on the lips. And my kids and I pushed our meals to the middle of the table. Because they were raised correctly and we don't eat till we figure shit out. There is a mystery in this restaurant. And we must solve it. So I said to my kids, I go, what do you think's going on right there? And my son goes, I don't know what's going on right now, but I do know you don't start kissing your sister when you're an adult.
Ch- Chad cocks his head and frowns. He turns and nods with a bemused smile.
I'm like, all right, we got some traction to solve this thing. Let's go. I asked my daughter, I said, what would you do if your brother kissed you on the lips? She said, I'd kill him. Son said, wouldn't have to, kill myself. I want to be clear that I know suicide's not funny, but I was beaming with pride as a father. And a little confused that there's Japanese blood in my family lineage. That's an honorable people. If Japanese people mess up, they fix it. It's true. You ever see a Japanese guy kiss his own sister on the lips? Next move is walking right to that forest.
He gestures to someone in the crowd.
May I ask you a question? Yeah. Do you have a brother?
No.
You don't. Do you have a brother?
Yes.
You do. What would you do if he kissed you on the lips? That's way too long. That's way too long. Oh, my God. What are you thinking about? You're like, I guess I don't know. I'm teasing. What do you think you'd do, though? You wouldn't do anything? You just let him kiss you right on the lips? The answer you're looking for, the word is murder. I just tried to help you with my daughter's answer. You wouldn't do anything. Do you have a brother?
I do.
What would you do if he kissed you on the lips?
I mean, we have different moms, so...
You have different moms, so...
In the crowd, the woman who answered tilts her head back and laughs, a hand pressed to her chest. Chad paces and grins. He lifts a hand, palm outward.
So if you didn't hear, she said, we have different moms, so, and I'd like to guess the next word, is it fuck?
She tilts her head back and touches her chest once more, laughing. The man beside her chuckles and shakes his head. Chad bends at the waist, then points to someone else.
See, that could have been you. You gotta come to these things ready. Well, it's just so strange to me because I have a sister and she's one of my favorite people on planet Earth and I've never even kissed her on the cheek, I don't think. And I love her to death. I mean, and I should have probably. She's been through some tough shit. My sister was hooked on meth for 10 years and not one day did I think maybe a kiss on the cheek from her older brother will help. She'd come home and be like, I'm freaking out. And I'd be like, hand on shoulder, full extension elbow lock, ass out, and then be like, don't do meth. And then I just back away full extension. Never did she come home shaking and her jaw moving all over, and I was like, come here, this'll help. Nah, that's insane. Everyone can relax. That ends the question portion for the front row. I just want to be clear. I don't want you guys like, what's next? I was on an escalator one time, and I was going down the escalator, and there was an up escalator right next to it, and so those people were coming towards me, and I saw a dad and this little kid on the escalator. Little boy was about 5 years old, and I heard him go, Daddy, how do they make escalators? And the dad said, at a factory. And that was it. So when they got next to me, I just looked at the dad, and I go, thank you, professor. What a lazy-ass answer that is. Your son asked you for information, and you gave him zero. That's like one step away from not really understanding science, so you just always go, God made it.
Chad bends forward with a placid smile. He lifts his brows and looks around.
That's a lazy-ass answer. Why is the sky blue? It's the Lord's favorite color. Think about it. The sky is blue, water's blue, white people when they freeze are blue. Mama, what's lightning? Well, that's the paparazzi trying to take a picture of Jesus.
He rests his hand on his thigh and bends forward, beaming.
They're never gonna get one. Do you hear the thunder? He's bowling with them angels right now. Those are lazy answers, and you're not helping anyone. Your kid's gonna go to school full water boy. Well, my mama said, fiddle-a-da-da, biddle-a-da, fa-biddle-a-da. That's crazy. No, I don't have the right to tell you not to use God in your answers, of course. I don't know what's going on either. But I would say if you do it, just do it correctly. That's all anyone's asking, right? Why is the sky blue? Well, because God said, let there be light. And there was. And then that light finally reached the Earth's atmosphere, and it started bouncing off gases and particles. And the light scattered, and the blue waves were the smallest, so they went the furthest and the fastest, and they covered everything. And that's why the sky's blue. And maybe it's the Lord's favorite color, but for sure that first part. It seems so easy, really, when you think about it. I am not religious.
Chad shrugs.
I think that kind of bums my mom out, because she is. She's always said, hey, how come you're not religious? And I go, I think it's mostly because of religion, probably. I don't know if you've heard about it. But please don't judge me for that. I don't judge you for anything you believe or don't believe. I don't have it in me. I don't have that thing that you have. And if you're a believer, I'm jealous. I wish I had that. Because if you're wrong, you're never going to know. Going to heaven, going to heaven, going to heaven, going to heaven, dark. That's a pretty good exit strategy, man. Because if I'm wrong from what I've read, it's going to be hot.
Chad grimaces and nods.
I'm going to want to do some crunches because I am headed to forever bikini season. I'm not going to, of course, make fun of all religions here tonight, but I would like to quickly, if I could, talk to you about Catholicism for about 35 minutes. You can see some people go, And that's okay. I understand it. First of all, let me start by saying, when I was younger, I thought that the biggest group of people on planet Earth were Asians. That's what I thought. Because in sixth grade, we had to fill out this map, right? And we had to fill in the populations of all the countries. And then you'd add up all the populations for all the Asian countries. You're like, holy shit, that's a lot of people. And then your teacher would go, don't forget India. And you're like, what the fuck? India's in Asia? Shut up. So you add that, and you're like, that's a big group of people. But now that I'm an adult, I know that Asians are not the biggest group of people on planet Earth. I know the biggest group of people on planet Earth are people that go, well, I grew up Catholic, but I'm not anymore. Those people are everywhere. If you meet one, there's two behind them, and there's four behind them. It's like the AIDS chart from health class. And it just keeps going. Let me say that I know there are good Catholic people. One of my best friends is Catholic, and so I talk to him sometimes. I go, why do you cheer for such a dumb team? And he doesn't have an answer, and so I say, because if you ever meet someone that says, I grew up Catholic and I'm not anymore, you go, how come? And they go, right? It's not even words. It's just guttural responses. That kind of shit. But I asked my buddy, I go, maybe we should write some letters. And he goes, I'm not going to write a letter to the church and put my name on it. And I'm like, I'm not asking you to do that. I'm saying, let me write a letter and put your name on it. Doesn't have to be anything fancy, right? Just let me start it off like something like, we're sick of coming to this church because the leaders of it are coming at this church.
Chad mimes writing. He looks around and shrugs with raised eyebrows. He smiles.
And what's the argument from Catholic people? They always go, you know the Catholic Church does good things too, right, Chad? I understand that, but none of them outweigh kid touching, so next. That is a silly argument. You know, Ethel made $240 at the bake sale. I understand that, but Justin can't sleep without the lights on.
He grimaces and holds out a hand.
So, what do we do? The suggestion box isn't working. I'm assuming the children have tried, please stop it, I don't like this. And we can't burn the churches down because they made them with really big rocks and brick. I mean, they third little pig the shit out of us over there. You know, I'd like to say I went to a Catholic church because I wanted to check it out because I don't like making fun of stuff unless I know what's going on. So I went to a Catholic church, and there's old men everywhere. Very old. The oldest of men. Where you go, did you know Jesus? Because you're old. And they have Ichabod Crane bodies and one-piece Charles Dickens pajamas. And they have KKK hats that don't go all the way down. They sit right on top. And there's a baby rattle that appears to be on fire. And they're swinging that around and shaking it. If you were on mushrooms, you'd be like, okay, all right. But you're not on mushrooms. You're at church. So you start freaking out a little bit. And then that's when the music starts. And that's when I go full panic. Because to me, Catholic music sounds like it was written with nutsacks in mouths.
Chad shrugs. He drops down to one knee and opens his mouth wide. He rises and holds up a finger.
Why did my lips not touch?
He lifts his brows and looks around. He cocks his head.
Because those are supposed to be lyrics, but you can't talk around a ball bag. You know that. That's Gregorian gargling. What is happening at the church? Get out of the bubble-mobile and help us, Pope! I'm glad most of you are having fun. I'm getting some looks of concern for my soul. And I do understand that, and I appreciate it, actually. But I want to tell you, I've been making fun of the Catholic Church on stage for 22 years, and look.
Chad hops from foot to foot and grins.
I'm fine. Sometimes I golf in the rain, and I'll hold up a club and be like, hit me, bitch! Mostly because I'm not good at golf, but you get it. I think here's what bothers me the most about the church is that it's leaking into other parts of our lives. I was at the airport one time, and I went to a Starbucks to get some coffee. Let me try that again. Jesus Christ. I almost said Subway. I'm like, God, I must be hungry. Go to a Subway at an airport, fucking best of luck with your asshole. Right? I was at the airport, and I went to a Subway, and then canceled all my fucking travel plans. Because I will not shit above 10,000 feet. Well, shit, maybe that should be the joke. I don't know. How was the show? He looked confused but funny. It was weird. Thing that bugs me is the church is moving into other parts of our lives. I was at an airport one time, and I went to a Starbucks to get a coffee. And when I ordered the coffee, the guy grabbed the cup off of the cup stack, and then he was writing my name on the cup, but he was holding my cup with his finger inside my cup. And I said, thank you. And I said, yo, man, can you get your finger out of my cup? And he took it out, and he goes, wasn't in there. And I go, yeah, it was, and that's okay. I just want a new cup. And he goes, no, it wasn't. And then the lady behind me goes, I also saw it. And I said, uh-oh. Then he swore at both of us, and he got fired on the spot and physically removed from behind the counter by the manager of Starbucks. And I was just standing there like this, I don't know what's going on. Then the manager came back and he goes, still want your coffee? And I go, oh, I'm wide awake. I don't need any caffeine. I'm vibrating on the inside right now. And I go back to that Starbucks every time I can because I like how the manager handled his business. And I've gone back several times and that guy's never been working there. And then one time I had a flight on the other side of the airport, so I went to that Starbucks and the guy was working there. Just like the Catholic Church. I think I'm a good dad. I do not think I'm great at comedy transitions. But I do. I think I'm a good dad. I think you only have to be better than your dad to be a good dad. And that is a rule I made up to make myself feel better. Do any men in here have a bad dad growing up? Okay. Twins cap, how come your dad was bad? Had nothing to do with you? Do you have kids? Do you have anything to do with them? You're a fucking better dad. Easy. Good for you. Good dad alert. Good dad alert. My dad stole my identity and ruined my credit before I was out of high school. That's what mine did. So all I had to do to be better than him was not learn my son's social security number. And hate to brag, but I did it.
Chad pats himself on the shoulder.
I took some shit. I brought him to camp once, and this woman was like, "You don't know your son's social security number?" And I was like, "I'm a great father." I didn't know he had stolen my identity and ruined my credit until I went to get my first car loan, and the man just laughed in my face. And he goes, "I can't give you money. You owe a woman named Karen Ward $15,000 in child support." And I was like, "Well, that's crazy, because that's my mom."
Chad grimaces.
I mean, I know she said we had to start helping out around the house, but $15,000? I also never hit my kids when they were little. I don't judge you if you do, by the way. Matter of fact, if we're out in a restaurant and we're eating and I'm at a table by myself and then you're over here with your kids and they're crying, I will encourage you to hit them. I might even suggest balling up your fist so you only have to do it that one time. Everybody knows you wake up with a better attitude after a nap. Oh, man, some resistance in here. Listen, am I going to hit a kid? No. Am I going to think about it? Every single day. Yes. That's how you don't do stuff. You think about it up here. You go, "Oh, I would throttle that kid in the fucking nose." And then you go, "Oh, shake it off, dude. Don't do it. All right, here we go." And that's how your day gets better. My kids are 24 and 20, and I know how I would murder them. That's how far it has escalated in my family. It involves an ice house and an auger and chains so the bodies sink. Sometimes when they're being assholes, I'll just look at them with a weird look on my face.
Chad tilts his head and smiles with his mouth open.
Like, "What are you thinking about? I don't know, this motion?"
He sweeps his hand back and forth like a falling leaf.
Pretty sure you stopped that with chains. My parents tossed us around a little bit, nothing therapy worthy. We had a weird disciplinary dichotomy in my home. It was like the roles were reversed for my parents in the discipline. My dad, when my sister and I were acting up, my dad would come in with a wooden spoon and he'd shake it like he was going to spank us with it. And my sister and I'd be like, "Nice try, nerd," and just keep going. But then my mom would hear us disrespecting our dad and she'd come in loosening her belt. And we would freeze immediately. Right? Because getting hit with a wooden spoon does not hurt. But getting fucked by your mom? Guys. I mean, we had no way of knowing if that's where it was headed, but we did not want to find out. Spanking or rape, no thank you. I feel like this is a perfect opportunity to tell you my mom never had sex with me. I had horrible credit. I told you I have two kids, 24 and 20. And my 20-year-old is at college right now. She is a sophomore in Southern California. And sure. I dropped her off her sophomore year and her freshman year, and it was a lot easier to drop her off her sophomore year because she was a pretty big bitch to me last summer. I almost didn't stop the car this year. I was just like, "Get out," through a crosswalk. But freshman year, guys, that was rough on me. If you have young children, stop loving them now. It will be a lot easier on you when they abandon you for their life or whatever selfish bullshit they're going to tell you. Dude, I will tell you, when I dropped her off, she's my youngest. So I had trouble dropping my son off, right? I was a little choked up with him. And then my daughter, she's the youngest. And so I had tears the whole week I was at this thing. And it was like, I didn't want to cry because I'm the dad. I didn't want to embarrass her. So I did what all good American dads do with sadness. I turned it into rage. That's what we do because it's how we're raised, right? When you're young, you can't be embarrassed or sad. You get called a pussy. But you punch a wall and everybody's like, there he is. There's the boy. I was crying in my room when I was younger and my dad came in and he said, I will give you something to cry about. And I was like, hey man, clearly I already have something to cry about. I'm actively crying right now. I don't want yours. I have one. That would give me two and give you zero. That's not fair. Plus, my name is probably already on yours because you stole my identity, son of a bitch. Isn't it wild we don't have a class in high school to teach kids how to deal with their emotions? Or credit cards? I mean, why don't we have those? It's pretty amazing. Instead, we send them into calculus. When's the last time you guys used calculus? I'm going to say, for me, never. When's the last time you had to deal with your emotions? A lot of you during that Catholic bit, I know. I saw that. I saw that on your faces, for sure. But they don't have a class for it. They send us to home ec to make a pillow so we have something to scream into at night. I mean, it's crazy. And what's wild is we had the perfect vehicle to teach kids how to deal with emotions with story problems in math. Right? But that's not what we used them for. What did we use them for? European travel? If a train is leaving Paris, France at midnight, going 185 kilometers per hour, when is it going to get to London? Hey, man, there's a schedule on the wall. We don't have to do this math. That's included in the ticket price. What we should have been using story problems for is this. Matt has 5 apples. Matt gave Julie 4 of his apples. And then Julie turned and gave Ben all 4 of those apples and kissed Ben right on the mouth. Then she turned back, looked at Matt, and laughed right in his face. How many therapy sessions is it going to take for Matt to realize that Julie's actions are not a reflection of his character, but of hers? So he doesn't shoot up a school or call her a whore. Now, there's a lot going on in that one. So you have to check the back of the book for the answer. And it just says, well into his 40s. Oh, my God. Am I Matt? I don't know. Maybe. Maybe I wrote a joke about myself and changed the names. It doesn't matter. So they don't teach us how to deal with our emotions in school. So there I am. I've dropped my daughter off. I'm in the rental car. I'm going back to the airport. I'm at a red light, and there's one car in front of me. And I can feel the tears come again, and I go, we can't cry now. You got to drop this goddamn car off. So I turn it into rage, and I tried to punch the horn of the rental car through the steering column. I hit it with every single thing I had in my body, and it went, meep. Dude, I went through the roof. I was like, meep, 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 meep. Thinking if I hit it correctly once, it would go, eh. No, meep, 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 meep. So finally, the guy in front of me rolls his window down, and he's like, did I do something? And I was like, I'm going home to an empty house. Then I saw him look both ways and run a red light. Which is absolutely what you need to do, and there is a psychopath behind you. You don't ask another question, you get somewhere safe. I'll tell you that I did have some fun when I was dropping my daughter off. She was on a tour with other students, and I went to the registration table, and I said, I got to get my daughter signed up. And they go, okay, what's her name? I said, it's Olivia. And they said, what's her major? I said, she's undecided. And the woman said, no, 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 no. She's an exploratory major. We don't say undecided here. Exploratory.
Chad slow claps.
That's what she did. And then she said some other stuff for 5 minutes, and I didn't hear any of that. because I was in the middle of a frustration blackout. And then she said, thank you for coming to orientation. And I said, no. Asiatation. We do not say orient here.
Chad slow claps again.
Asiatation. And that is the last time I moonwalked away from another human being. I did it all. All of it. I think my favorite part of dropping her off is when she met her roommates, because they're from Southern California and she grew up in Northern Minnesota and still has her accent. So it's like two different languages. She was like, can you guys grab me my bag? My bag has my clothes, it's up by your feet, just grab my bag. And her roommates were like, grab your It's like a confused teapot. And my daughter was like, just grab my bag. And one of her roommates goes, I think you mean bog. And I was like, I don't think that's right either. No one's ever gotten in trouble for calling a guy a fog. Huh? I mean, that's just condensation. That doesn't even make sense. Mama, what's condensation? Well, that's the Lord's breath on a window.
Chad leans forward and rests his hand on his thigh.
I visited my daughter 5 times last year, and on the 5th time, so she has a roommate, and her mom was there every time I got there, right? And so the 5th time I went, the mom goes, can I talk to you for a second? I'm like, yeah, no problem, what's up? And she goes, do you think you're here too much? And I said, I think you're here every single time I'm here. Are we here too much, do you think? And then she goes, well, I'm a mom. Oh. Yeah, and I was like, I don't think you can say that. You can't dad shame me. I will cancel you, bitch. And she goes, I'm just worried that you're kind of smothering your daughter. And I said, well, if I'm smothering her from visiting her at college, she's in big trouble when I die. Because in my will, it says I'm to be cremated and my ashes are to be dyed pink and blue so they can be used at my grandchildren's gender reveal. That's actually in my will. I love a good party and I don't want to miss it. What's it gonna be? What's it gonna be? Pfft, Grandpa! Yes, but then it was time to go home. So I did. And I didn't know exactly how sad I was until I got all the way back here to Minnesota and I went to my home to no one. And I ate a pizza without cutting it. I mean, think about how pathetic that is. By the way, I had a pizza cutter in my hand. And I yelled to an empty house, well, no one else is here to have a piece. Then I folded the pizza, and I grabbed it from the top, and I ate it from the bottom, like a parasite on the belly of a wild animal. I will tell you, when you fold a pizza, grease will pour out one side and it will stain your pants. I'm also going to let you know I wasn't wearing pants. I told you I was sad. So there I was in my kitchen, in my panties, eating an Italian taco with a grease burn on my inner thigh. That I now tell people's a birthmark because that's kind of an embarrassing story. It was in that moment I had the thought, I am going to hate being an empty nester more than anything I've ever done in my entire life. And then a week later, for the first time in 23 years, I got a blowjob in my own house. And I thought, you know what? We're going to figure this out. My daughter FaceTimed me. She's like, I'm thinking about coming home for Thanksgiving. I was like, I don't know. Why don't you stay out there? You know, get to know your roommates. Really enjoy the college She was like, what's wrong? Didn't have the heart to tell her. Not all your friends went to college. Some of those boys didn't have the grades. This reaction is incredible. Absolutely incredible. You're like, oh, it's a girl. Kill him. It's fine. It's a boy. What a weird reaction. First of all, it's neither of those groups. It's a fully cooked adult woman. So everyone calm down. Here's what happened. Well, not, never mind, not that. You guys are like, all right, I'm listening. Not that part. Let me start over here. I did not date my daughter's senior year of high school because I did not want to have to choose between her last events and then getting to know someone. I didn't think anyone would get my full attention. I didn't think that was fair. So I took a year off of dating, and I learned something very, very important about myself. I learned that I could die alone and be okay with that. That is very good information to have about yourself. It is a horrible attitude to have in a new relationship. There was a woman in my house once after this, and she was like, I don't like this movie. I was like, I could die alone, go home. You got to figure out how to turn that shit down a little bit. Then I went on my first date with my current girlfriend, Kelsey, and here's what happened. She's allergic to everything. And that sucks. I mean, everything. Like, does your water have hydrogen? Oh, it has two? Okay, I can't have that. It was like that kind of stuff. And so I'm like, I'm not going to be able to do this, for sure. And at the end of dinner, she said something really compelling. She said, peanuts can kill me. Dairy makes me shit my pants. And I thought, oh my God, am I falling in love right now? Turns out I was, because I think that's a very funny thing to say. It's also great information to have at the beginning of a relationship. Because now I know if she accidentally has dairy, I can just give her a peanut to stop the madness. Yeah, you're damn right. I told you I could die alone. I said that. I never said I could sit next to somebody while they shit their pants in public. Here's the thing. Peanut butter has been my favorite food since I was a little boy. And now I can't have it because I'm in this relationship. And Kelsey goes, well, why don't you try almond butter? And I was like, I don't know. Why don't you fuck you? Have you ever had almond butter? It sucks so hard. It's like Christmas with just church and no presents. Imagine that. You know how they make almond butter? They have little kids chew up almonds and spit them into a jar. It's so gross. So I finally broke. We moved in together, and I brought a jar of peanut butter with me. And she said, what's that? And I said, you know what that is. And she said, what are you going to do with it? And I said, I'm going to eat this when you're not here. And she said, well, what if I eat it? Don't. I don't know what to say about that. I'm going to put this in this cupboard. You don't open this cupboard. This is the cupboard of death. This is where I'm going to put the peanut butter and my throwing stars. Don't open this. You could get hurt. And she said, I cannot believe you brought something into this house that I'm allergic to. And I go, oh, how are your two cats doing that kill me slowly every day? What's going on with them? Have they been fed yet and barfed it up somewhere on the carpet? I said, I can tell you something about this peanut butter. You're never going to wake up with it on your head. Have you ever met a cat? They're autistic. They're full spectrum. They go, oh, he's allergic to me? Well, then I'm going to love him the most. It's insane. They sleep on my head, and then I snore because of it, and then Kelsey's like, hey, your mouth breathing.
Chad bends over with his hand on his thigh. He grimaces and tilts his head.
Can you wake up, honey? Your mouth breathing, it's bothering me. Can you wake up? And I'm like, huh, what? Who's mouth breathing? I'm mouth breathing? The one with the Davy Crockett cat hat on my head? Whose dander is cascading down into my breathing holes? So even though I'm in a dream, I'm physically in fight or flight. And my face has to open the biggest hole on it to let the most amount of oxygen in. So I can remain a card-carrying member of the alive. I'm mouth breathing? No shit, honey. Tell me more. I know I said she would never end up with peanut butter in her hair when she's sleeping, but I'm gonna get drunk and do it. I know it. I know I am. I'm gonna slather it in her hair and just be like, you're mouth breathing. Wake up, wake up, wake up, wake up. You're bugging me or whatever you said, because we're equals. Wake up. Oh, fuck. Wake up. I'm pretty sure peanuts are different than cats, so I'm going to want to be careful about that one. We did move in together pretty quickly, and because of that, people are like, you guys going to have kids? And I will tell every single person that I have a vasectomy, and then there's always one person in the group that goes, you know you can reverse a vasectomy, right? I'm like, yeah, you know you can walk from Alaska to Argentina, right? But that seems hard, and you're not going to do it, so why don't you shut your dirty mouth? This is a vasectomy. I had a surgery for this. I went in on purpose. This is not a, you know, Tasmanian devil tattoo that I got on my senior trip in Mexico that I'm later going to regret in my late 30s and cover it up with flowers when my grandma dies.
Chad raises his eyebrows and shakes his head.
This is a vasectomy. I didn't drive into the wrong driveway and now need to back out. I went into a cold operating room with a bare nut sack per their request, and they sliced it open, and they pulled a tube out, and they snipped it, and then they burn both sides of the tube, so now my sperm runs into that, and they die right there. And then they're absorbed back into my body. And I don't know what that means. They told me that and then had me leave the hospital. I have no idea what that means. Sometimes I will not have eaten for a couple hours, and I'll burp, and I'll be like, was that it? I don't know. I don't know where they are. I'm like a haunted house. Just sperm ghosts everywhere in here. I have ringing in my ears, and I'm pretty sure it's just the crickets in the sperm graveyard. I'm not going to reverse a vasectomy because I don't know what would happen. Right? I don't know how that works. I've only reversed one thing in my life, and it was electricity. In college, we got our light shut off because we didn't pay the bill. So then we paid the bill, and they turned our lights back on, but then our lights flickered for 3 days. I don't want a flickery sperm shooter. Right? I don't need my sperm coming out sideways and just denting the egg. And then one finally gets in, I have a kid come out like, wah!
He takes a wide stance and wears a wild smile.
Everybody's like, do you have ADHD? No, my dad Humpty Dumpty'd his ball bag back together. Now we can't go to restaurants because of fuck up meals. I'm not doing that. I have a vasectomy. She has an IUD. And one day she goes, oh, I'm late. My period hasn't been, I'm 2 weeks late for it. I feel like my breasts are tender and I feel a little chubbier than normal. She goes, do you think I'm pregnant? And I was like, I don't. I have a vasectomy and you have an IUD. If you're pregnant, we're about to have the creepiest kid of all time. If he made it through all that shit, he's gonna be able to walk through his crib just like, hello.
He paces with a flat expression.
Mother, father. We won't be able to get a babysitter to come back more than one time. She goes, well, maybe I should go down to Walgreens to get a pregnancy test. And I was like, sure, you should also get a paternity test when you're there. That's not my kid. Pregnancy tests and paternity tests should come in a two-pack like DayQuil and NyQuil. Just shrink wrap together. Kelsey asked me when we started dating, she said, do you want kids? And I said, I have kids. And she said, well, what if I want some kids? I said, well, then you should have brought some kids. I can't have a baby now. I told you, my youngest is 20 years old. If I had a baby right now, that would be like my last day of prison, going into the yard and stabbing somebody. Just be like, well, here we go again.
He mimes being taken away in handcuffs.
One more life sentence. I guess I'll get one more degree I'll never be able to use. I couldn't have a kid right now. My son is getting married in 12 days. He's 24. And yeah, sure. Yes. If you guys want to waste your energy clapping at mistakes, be my guest. No, I love his wife to be very much. I just think it's funny because when he was 23, he got engaged. And I go, you think you're a little young to get engaged? And he goes, I don't know. You think you're a little old to be a boyfriend? I'm like, we will see you at the wedding, my man. But he's getting married in 12 days, and I don't know when they're going to have a baby, and I'm certainly not going to be one of those creepy families where the parents have a kid as old as the oldest kid's kid. You ever seen them walking around like, who's your buddy? This is my uncle. Well, why don't you go back into the corn? You're freaking everybody out. Plus, it wouldn't be fair if I had a son and a grandson the same age. Right? Because I'm always going to be a strict dad, but I'm going to spoil the hell out of my grandkids. If they're the same age, that doesn't make any sense. Son, go rake the lawn. Grandson, go jump in the leaves. You get in there. Now kick him around. It doesn't matter. He'll do it again. Yes, you will. I have your phone for a month already. You want to make 2 months? Rake up the goddamn leaves. I remember when Kelsey and I started dating, she put glasses on. She goes, are you surprised I have glasses? And I said, no. With your weak-ass genetics? A nut can kill you. You thought I thought you could see far? No. And that's also why I'm not going to put a baby into her. That's not fair. Sorry, but the kids I have now are great. All their parts work. Their genetics are spot on. And I know it sounds like I'm giving a speech in Germany right now. I mean, my children will never be beaten. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying they're good. I got good ones. So I don't think it's fair for me to have to put perfect vision and straight teeth without braces into a bowl with can't have a tomato. Plus, you know I'm the one that's going to have to take care of that kid. I'm going to have to bring him out trick-or-treating with a purple pumpkin because he can't have peanuts. Because she can't bring him out when there's pollen in the air. It'll kill her. And so people are going to be like, why does your son have a purple pumpkin? I don't know. He's broken. I'm not sure. I've never had to deal with this before. I just know his mom's family tree is a weeping willow. I was just sent along with him to let you know you can only give him licorice or he will die. That's it. Well, who's his little buddy? That's his nephew, and I don't want to talk about it right now.
Chad strolls over to the stool and takes a sip of water.
You know what's awesome about this night to me? Is that I bet you there are people in here on the left of the political spectrum, and I bet you there are people on the right, and no one's fist fighting, and we're all laughing at the same stupid story. I think that's great. Selfishly, I am very happy about that because 5 years ago, I thought I was going to have to write two different acts for two different groups. I thought I was going to have to go to Planned Parenthood and tell some jokes for the Dems and then run across town into the VFW and do some jokes for the Repubs. I mean, I did. But here we are. This is a lot better for me. There's still some buttfuckery on the edges. I think there always will be. That's how it works, right? I mean, I'm on the left. Here's what I've said since the beginning of my career. I'm on the left. The line's right by my foot. That's where I stand. It seems like I'm going this way because they're going that way, but I'm just standing here. And so sometimes I get yelled at from my own team. One time I was like, oh, that homeless guy. And somebody goes, it's unhoused. And I was like, I don't think that's right. Unhoused? That sounds like a word you'd make up because you can't get something to rhyme in a poem. And she goes, do you want to know why it's unhoused? And I said, I don't. Because it's going to be something else next week. The far left, they update more than Apple products. Problem with the far right, they haven't updated one time ever. And that's why there's such a disconnect on the two sides. Because I got people saying unhoused over here, and I have people over here that are going, well, I can't call that person a boy because it says they're a girl on their birth certificate, and you know me, I always go by the birth certificate, so if it says you're a girl on your birth certificate, that's what I'm going to call you. Like, whatever, Robert, well, call me Bob.
He frowns and shakes his head.
Sorry, Robert, your rules. Or sometimes they're like, what do you think about gay couples having kids? I don't. I'm not a gay couple or a kid. And no one has asked me to help. I only help when I am asked. Did you hear that, white ladies? Say it with me. I only help when I am asked.
He slow claps and beams.
But sometimes people want to know about gay couples raising kids. They go, what would happen if two women raised a boy? What would that boy end up like? I don't know. He'd probably be great at planning surprise parties and ruining them. Just a little sum from each parent. I don't know what to tell you. What do you think about that guy that became a girl to win all those college swimming events? I will tell you what I think about that. I didn't know there was college swimming. I didn't. I thought you went from the YMCA to the Olympics. That was it. So that person has done more for me and my knowledge of college swimming than anyone. I hope they got that laugh. That sounded like a goddamn boomerang coming around. I love it. I'm not making fun of it. I love it. Now I'm going to say something right now that could get me kicked out of the country. So I'd like you to bear with me. Both sides, hear me out. What if we all minded our own business? I know it seems simple, but it seems like we can't do it, right? So here's, I told you, I'm on the left, the line's right by my foot. I shot a gun 2 months ago, and I want to do it every single day now. I bet every single person in here is against gun violence, of course. I don't need a gun that goes, not that many. I don't need that. I want one that goes, bang, and then you have to hurry and fucking reload or you get shot. That's what I want. I want to get good at shooting the one person I want to shoot. That doesn't seem that hard. So I think if you want a gun, you should be able to have one of those bang guns. And I think that you should have to follow a couple rules, but once you do, everybody has to leave you alone. And I think those rules should be, prove you're not going to be a psychopath with it, you're not going to wave it in anybody's face, make sure kids don't get their hands on it, and don't shoot anybody in the chest unless it's Steve-O and he asks you to or whatever. If you follow those rules, everybody has to mind their own business. Same on the other side, right? If you were born a female, and that's never made sense with how you think or how you feel emotionally, you should get to have a penis on your body if you want one. There should have to be rules. And if you follow them, everyone should have to shut up. Those rules should be, prove you're not going to be a psychopath with it. You're not going to wave it in anybody's face. Make sure kids don't get their hands on it. And don't shoot anybody in the chest unless it's Steve-O and he asks you to or whatever. It's so easy if we let it be. I'm going to tell you one more story. I was in Sacramento. This is another one where I don't know how to do transitions. I was in Sacramento, and it was flooding, so I couldn't go anywhere for 4 days, and I was in a hotel room. And I, on the last day I was there, I started watching the Minnesota Vikings play the Giants, and I was watching that game. And then there was a knock at my door, and I hadn't seen anyone for 4 days. I was very lonely. So normally when someone knocks on my hotel room door, I Mission Impossible shimmy and listen to figure out who's out there. Not this time. I was like, it's company. Hey. And it was two armed security guards with their hands already on their guns. They were positioned like this, and their little flippy thing was already flipped up. So all they had to do is that with their gun. Now, I was holding the door like this. You couldn't see my hand. That's how you have to open a hotel room door. And they kept looking at my hand weird, so I go, what's happening? He goes, let go of the door. I go, I can't. It'll shut, and bullets go through doors. And he goes, you better figure it out. And I said, can I move my hand? And the guy goes, go for it. Well, no. I'm not playing that game, High Noon. So I put my foot down to block the door, and then I magicianed my hand out like this. Just trying to get him to smile. I even made all the noises. I was like, oh, bah, bah, bow. And he goes, what are you doing? And I go, I don't know. What are you doing? And he goes, we have a domestic disturbance complaint about this room. And I go, not this one. I've been here all by myself for 4 days. You don't believe me? Why don't you come in here and try to bend this sock? Right? I mean, I'm just trying to get them to smile. They have guns. And so they don't even smirk. And they go, we have to come in there and make sure that nobody's in there. I'm like, yeah, all right, go for it. So I get out of the way, and one guy passes me. And the other guy comes. Look, he's going to pass me, and he stops right by me. And he looks at me, and he goes, and we're not touching the sock. I was like, yeah, man, there's no sock. Relax, that was a joke. So we get in there. And he goes, open up the closet. And I opened it, and the guy goes, do it slower. Like, what kind of dirty tape are we making? He's like, why would he want me to do it slower? And then I thought, do they really think I'm a magician because of this shit? And they think there was someone in there? I'm like, yeah, but not anymore!
Chad mimes opening a door quickly. He bows to both sides of the audience with his fingers splayed wide. He holds his hands over his chest and wiggles his fingers.
Ridiculous. So then they go, we got to go in the bathroom. I go, all right, let's go in there. Nobody's in here. And they go, open up the shower curtain. So we start to slide it. But I go, how slow you want me to open this one? Oh, you like that, daddies? And he goes, knock it off. And I go, you knock it off. You have guns. I go, you got to tell me what's going on. And he goes, we have a witness in the hallway that says they heard something. And I go, well, I have an idea. How about we go talk to them? So we go out in the hallway. And there's a woman standing there, and she says, I was walking by this room, and I'm positive it was this room. And I heard a man yell, get on the ground, bitch. And I was like, I'm lonely, but that is not something that I would ever, oh, no.
He grimaces and hunches up his shoulders.
I go, is it possible you heard a man yell, get him on the ground, you big bitch? Because I did yell that at a Minnesota Viking defensive lineman. I did. I have the under, and they are running all over us today. So she goes, oh, my God, that was it. And I go, oh, my God, you invited people with guns. So I go, can I go in my room? And they go, yeah, go ahead. So I shut the door, and I locked the deadbolt, but I snapped the deadbolt as hard as I could, and it echoed in the hallway. And as soon as it got quiet, I yelled, stay under the bed! You guys were absolutely incredible. Oh, my God. Thank you so much. Thank you. Jesus Christ. Thank you, guys. This is unbelievable.
The crowd gives him a standing ovation. Chad waves and sets the mic on the stool. He moves to the back of the stage and signs and dates a brick on the wall. Other signatures mark dozens of bricks around his. He waves to the crowd and leaves the stage. Audio description provided by International Digital Center. Written by Dakota Green. Voiced by Frankie Corzo. Credits. Written and performed by Chad Daniels. Directed by Eric Abrams. Executive producers Chad Daniels, Alex Goodman. Produced by Matt Schuler, Jesse Chafo. Blind producer Tina Martinenko. Cinematographer Sean Emmer. Associate producers Joey Von Hager, Brittany Duffield. Editor Dan Cotter. Credits continue. Text appears. I absolutely have the best fans. I will never be able to tell you how truly thankful I am for letting me live out my dream. What a crazy thing this is. A quote appears. Some guys show up, some guys don't. Which one are you gonna be? Craig Vaughn.
Flood the rink.
Logo, Flood the Rink. Copyright 2024, Flood the Rink. All rights reserved.
A red letter N unfolds into a spectrum of colors.